most amazing thing you could do for me is just continue to be you and be bold and brave and creative and unafraid. And if you do those things, that is the greatest honor that you can bring to the world. But change the world. Change the world. See those little globes? Go change the world and don't let anybody tell you you can't, because you can.
This is the L3 Leadership Podcast, episode number 146. What's up, everyone, and welcome to episode number 146 of the L3 Leadership Podcast. My name is Doug Smith, and I'm the founder of L3 Leadership. We are a leadership development company obsessed with helping you reach your maximum potential as a leader. In this episode, you're going to get to hear our question and answer session with Laura Ellsworth. Laura is Jones Day's first partner in charge of global community service initiatives, and she is one of the best leaders I've been around. If you did not get to listen to her talk in episode number 145, please go back and listen to it. It was one of the best talks I've ever heard. But before we jump into our question and answer sessions and talk about Laura, just a few announcements. One, if you're new to this podcast, I just want you to know that we believe in you and we're committed to bringing you 3 or 4 episodes every single month to help you grow and develop as a leader. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, I would really appreciate it if you would jump on iTunes or whatever it is you listen to podcasts with and subscribe and leave a rating and review. That really helps us grow our audience organically. So thank you for that. I want to thank our sponsors, Henny Jewelers. Henny Jewelers are a jeweler owned by my friend and mentor, John Henny. My wife and I got our engagement and wedding rings through Henny Jewelers, and we just think they're an incredible company. They are consistently investing in couples. In fact, they gave Laura and I a book to help prepare for our marriage, and they give every engaged couple a book to help prepare for their marriage. And John's also personally been investing in me as a leader, a father, and a husband now for many years. So I'm just so grateful for this family-run business. They're a gem in Pittsburgh. So if you're in need of a good jeweler, check out hennyjewelers.com. I want to thank our other sponsors, Alex Tulandon Real Estate Resources. Alex is a full-time realtor with Keller Williams Realty, and whose team is committed to providing clients with highly effective premier real estate experiences throughout the greater Pittsburgh region. As a member and supporter of L3 Leadership, Alex would love the opportunity to connect with you. You can find out more on how to connect with Alex and his work at PittsburghPropertyShowcase.com. With that being said, let's jump right into our question and answer session with Laura. As I mentioned, she's one of the best leaders I've been around. I do not have time to read you her entire resume. It would take me an hour. But I like to say this, that if I had to sum up who Laura Ellsworth is, I would say that she is the definition of a world changer. If you want to read her bio, you can go to the show notes at l3leadership.org/episode146. The question and answer session was great. A few questions that people asked Laura, how do they actually narrow down the causes that they're passionate about and choose which one to focus on? Someone asked her how she came out of living beneath her father's shadow, which I thought was a great question, probably because I asked it. Someone asked her what advice she has for women who are in the workplace and raising a family, and she had a phenomenal answer to that. Someone asked her who she mentors and how she mentors them. Someone asked her what causes she's passionate about and how we can get involved with that, and so many more. So get ready for an action-packed Q&A session with Laura Ellsworth, and I'll be back at the end with a few announcements.
Hi, Laura. Thank you so much for your talk today. What really struck me at the beginning of your talk was what you talked about, how you were given the platform to pick a cause in the world and just run with it. And we're actually doing something similar in our mastermind groups, where we have a book called 50 Facts That Will Change the World, and we're picking causes from that and kind of running with it. But I'm curious as to your process of how you narrow that down, how you brainstorm to find a cause, and how you ultimately decided which ones to pursue.
It's a great question, and there's a very disappointing answer, which is simply like, they were the ones right in front of us. They were the ones right in front of us. Believe me, there is enough need in the world. There is plenty of opportunity for everybody, right? So the telemedicine project was because we knew these hospitals, because we worked in these hospitals in Africa. And I was actually one of my proudest Jones Day moments. I will tell you the story. My son organized a field trip to Haiti, which seemed like a really bad idea to me. And so I wanted to go along just to make sure he didn't get killed, kidnapped, something, because I'd not been to Haiti. I didn't know. And so I go as his mom, right? Nobody knows who I am. I'm just this kid's mom. And we're touring this hospital in Haiti. And for those of you who have never been to a third world hospital, it is like the seventh circle of hell. I mean, they are really, really difficult, painful places. And so we're touring this hospital, and I look to my left, and there is a gurney piled with dead babies. And so I turned to the person who was touring us, and I said, tell me about this. And he said, well, when you're born in Haiti, you're born in the dirt, and we take the dirt, and we rub it on the umbilical cord, and it's full of tetanus, and the babies are virtually dead by the time they get to us. But not to worry, because there's a law firm in the United States that just made a donation to us, so we built a new wing on our hospital. It's called Jones Day. I don't suppose you ever heard of it. And I have been very proud to be associated with Jones Day on many occasions. Multi-million-dollar case wins. Awesome, right? Never more proud than on that day in Haiti, standing next to a pile of dead babies. So our telemedicine project came from that moment. And from Julie's daughter having leukemia, right? Our veteran project came from the fact that we had represented a lot of veterans here in Pittsburgh. And we had been really frustrated that we couldn't help them if they had an issue in St. Louis or in Dallas or in California, and we thought that needed to be fixed. The human trafficking project was we came to represent a client through our regular pro bono program who had been trafficked and had been held a slave in the middle of Washington, D.C. for 4 years until she crawled out of the house near death to seek aid. And the fact that she could live in slavery in the middle of Washington, D.C. in this day and age horrified us. And the more we got involved in it and asked those questions, the more we found the global nature of the problem, and it just, you know, it just took us on that string. So it's, you know, things will come into your life and your world, I believe, for a purpose, I believe for a reason, but they will come into your life, and believe me, there is enough that needs to be done that we can all get involved. So the one key thing I would tell you is make sure it's something that truly has your passion. That's the most important ingredient, because if you have that, everything else follows.
Hi, Laura. How are you?
Good, good. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you, too. I have, like, a little bit of a personal question for you. I have known you for many years, and I've seen you give a lot of presentations. And when I saw you were coming here, I thought you could talk on anything. But as you were speaking, it kind of struck me that this is one of the best and most personal presentations you've ever given. And I was just really impressed by how much went into it. And you could have seen this as a small thing. So could you talk to me a little bit about doing things well, even when you're not really sure who's going to be in the audience, or how big
it's going
to be.
Okay. So here's what I say to myself, right? You never know, right? Because you just never know. So that's the selfish answer, right? You just never know. So this group, I look at the exponential power of this group. The mere fact, like, we were joking about this, right? When we were joking about the race going on and like, oh my God, you know, nobody might come. I said, you only need two, right? It's not the Bible says you only need two. And so it's not about how many people are going to show up. It's the quality of who's going to show up. And the mere fact that this organization exists, that you guys come together like this, that told me something about who you are and what you have the potential to do. And so, you know, if there were two of you, like, that's awesome power. That's awesome exponential power. And, you know, I'm happy to talk to anybody who brings that passion and that brings that ability to the table. So, and I talk about myself, like, how hard is that to talk about yourself all the time, right? But there are things that were important to me, you know, and so I think they might be important to other people. So they're easy to share in that respect. But the power in this room, what you guys are going to do in this community or in whatever community you choose to be, is absolutely awesome. It really is. It already is, right? So it's an honor to me to be here. I mean that. And I hope it was helpful.
So I have a quick question.
Yeah. Oh, wait, he gets to ask questions? Since when does he get to ask questions?
So I think the recent Rocky movie, Apollo, is that what it's called, or Creed? So last year I saw this movie called Creed, and I cried in it because it's essentially Apollo Creed's son. And the entire movie, he has to live in the shadow of his dad. Mm-hmm. And it was always, man, what dad did. It was Apollo Creed, etc. And then at the end, his moment that's going to go before his final fight, and it was just this moment that said, Creed, your legacy. And man, I cried like a baby. But it sounds like you had the opportunity to live in your dad's shadow your whole life, but you didn't. You created your own legacy, which I think is incredible, and you honor your dad as well, which is amazing. Can you talk a little bit about not living in the shadow of others' expectations, whether it's a parent, whether it's a leader, and just creating your own path and legacy?
Yeah. So when I went to college, I wasn't supposed to have a real job, right? I was supposed to meet a rich husband and live in an Upper East Side apartment with a station wagon with wooden sides. That was what I was supposed to do. And there are days, let me just tell you what, where I just think, why didn't I do that? But I used to have fights, huge fights with my dad, because I wanted to get a summer job. Can you imagine? Huge fights. It's like, that's not for you. That's not, find a nice guy, right? I was never supposed to have a job. And I was only half joking when I said he almost stroked out when I went to law school. I mean, you know, it was not what a woman was expected, not a woman that grew up where and how I did was supposed to do in the early 1970s. I'm so old, oh my God. But it wasn't, right? And so, you know, part of what made me who I am is because I said, and I, as you can tell, I mean, I totally loved and revered my dad, totally. But in the course of that, I thought, I am never going to be beholden to anybody. Because he was, you know, he financially supported me, right? He put the screws to me. He was paying for school. He was paying for, like, you know, he was the, and I thought, I don't like that. I want to be my own person. I want to pay my own way. I want to live my own life. And I totally love you and respect you, but I don't ever want to be beholden to you or anybody else, no matter how much I love you. Right? And so, you know, many people in this room come from parental situations that are very different than the one I had. Right? But I suspect they made you want to live your own independent life. I came from a silver spoon kind of place, but I wanted to live my own independent life too. And so people come from very different places and find their path in very different ways, but there are a lot of commonalities, right? And neither of my parents was perfect, right? There are a lot of things that one could fall into that were not good. And so deciding that you're not going to follow that path, no matter how much you love someone, right? And I guess, you know, what I would say is, however you were formed, right? You are God's child first. And God wants you to find a purpose on this earth. You were put here for a reason. I don't know what it was. I don't know what mine is. But we were put here for a reason, and you are God's child first. And no matter how much you love somebody or how much you don't love somebody, whether it is a parent or a spouse or a sibling, you can love somebody with your whole heart, but you are always God's child first.
So good.
Is that responsive?
Yeah, thank you.
Paul? Hello, thanks for sharing this morning. Great stories, great message. I took time in this event.
Okay.
Going back to your idea of being Dr. Bob for other people, I'm curious, who are you, Dr. Bob, for? And how did you identify those folks and, you know, decide to invest in them? And what specifically are you doing to invest in their development?
So I hope that I'm Dr. Bob for you. I hope that you are. I hope that I am. I hope that I am Dr. Bob for a lot of people that I work with in my law firm. I hope that I am Dr. Bob for the woman who I described for you who was the victim of trafficking, who is now an international victim advocate who comes with us across the world and talks about her experience. I hope I am Dr. Bob for my son. I hope I am Dr. Bob for the veteran that I represent because he has a drug conviction because he was provided opiates instead of care by the VA, right? So I hope in some way that I'm Dr. Bob to everybody whose life I touch. I may be better at it or more successful than others, but hopefully you'll be among them.
So we may have time for one more question after this, but I do want to ask along those lines. So I know you're very passionate about a lot of causes here in Pittsburgh, and just in general, anyone who listens to this podcast or is here now, how can we serve you, or are there any causes that you're especially passionate about here in Pittsburgh that maybe you can expose the leaders in this room to that they can get involved with?
So you know that, that the one that's probably the closest to my heart, and there are many, is Imani Christian Academy. This is a school for kids pre-K through 12 in the East Hills. Many of the kids that we have come from really, really difficult backgrounds. They don't have intact families. They come from really challenging places. And as you know from my story, I believe that they are uniquely strong, because they have come from great adversity. And I say to them, you know, all the time, I teach at the school sometimes as well, and I had a student come to class one time, and she was crying. She was upset. And so I said to her afterwards, I said, are you okay? And her mother, who was a crack whore, had been beaten up by her boyfriend the night before, and she'd spent the whole night in the hospital with her mother, a crack whore, and then she shows up into my class. And I think the strength that it takes for a child to have that experience and to show up and to come and ask nothing other than the ability to work really hard to change your life through education, right? So Nelson Mandela said, as I'm sure you know, that education is the most powerful weapon we have to change the world. I believe that. And I see the strength in these children. I believe in what they can become. I have tremendous admiration and respect for their strength and their dedication to continue to come to school. So anybody who wants to get involved in Imani, these kids are amazing. And Doug and I were talking before, you know, one of the most powerful things that you guys can do is share your story and share your concern and your who you are with them, because it will enrich their lives to know lots of different people. So if anybody wants to get involved in Imani Christian Academy, come see me. I'll get you involved. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about that.
Thank you, Laura. That was such an inspiring talk. Thank you so much for being here this morning. My question is about just women in the workplace and how that's on the rise, and that there's still not that many executives that are women, so it's inspiring to have you here today. And just what advice would you give to women that are in the workplace, or even stay-at-home moms, or women that are finding themselves in leadership positions, whether in the community or at home? Just your advice to us as girls.
Okay. So the first thing I would tell you is take your kids with you. So it's not an either or, right? There's lots of ways to do things together where you're parenting and growing at the same time. The other thing, I teach through stories. Can I tell one more story? If you need to leave, I don't want to keep you, but let me tell you a story. So I would go on midnight walks with my son, really at midnight. I was a terrible parent, but really we would go and we would talk. And so I said to him one time, I was sort of thinking, you know, did I want to retire? And I said, honey, what do you think of that? And he goes, oh, mom, that would totally suck. I'm like, suck, that's a charming word. Where did you get that? And I said, why would that be bad? He said, well, it's not like that, mom. He said, it's like, I really love you. You know that, right? And I said, I know. And he said, but I also love Jenny, who's our nanny. And I also really love Dad. And I really love Trevor, who's Jenny's husband. And I really love, and he named a bunch of other people that he spent time with when I was at work. And he said, and if you were around all the time, you'd be in the way of that. So I didn't know what to say, and he felt kind of bad for a second. And he goes, well, Mom, it's like this, Mom. It's like you really love me, right? And I said, I do. And he said, but if I was around at work all the time, I'd be in the way, wouldn't I? I said, you would. And he said, well, it's exactly the same in my life. And I'd been to a lot of seminars and paid a lot of money for books and stuff, and I never heard it put quite like that, right? And I think the lesson I took from that is, if you put people in your children's lives, not in substitution for you, but in celebration of who they are and what that relationship is, the diversity of those relationships was precious to him. His individual relationship with each of those people was precious to him. He didn't want me in the way of that, right? So if you think of it in that way, I think, you know, it might be helpful to you. And the other thing is, you know, there are many, I think sometimes we confuse being there with being important to our children. So my dad traveled the world. He was gone 3 or 4 months a year. Every year of my life was sort of like a precursor to Doctors Without Borders. It was like his thing. And I don't love him less because he wasn't there. I suspect I am who I am because I watched what he did. And so it wasn't his presence that was powerful to me from a parenting standpoint. It was his absence. And I had one thing with my son where I was trying a case out of town. So I had this opportunity to try a case out of town. I had to live out of town for 6 months. My son was 7, okay? And they put it to me. They said, do you want to go? Do you want to try? It was a landmark case, the most important case in the country in this field. Do you want it? Now, I could have said, no, I have a 7-year-old. I'm going to stay home. Or I could have said yes. And it changed my career, that decision. And I said yes. But it meant I had to be away from my child. So how was I going to manage that? So I thought about my mom, and I exercised the power of choice. And I decided I was going to teach my son something about that. So one day, I was supposed to go home for the weekend, and something happened on Friday in court that was just a disaster, and a long brief had to be written over the weekend for first thing Monday morning. And it was my witness, and it was my issue, and I just had to do it. Nobody could do it but me. So I called my son, and I said, honey, I'm really sorry. I'm not going to be able to get home this weekend. And he bursts into tears, and he's sobbing, and he's going, I'm sorry, mommy. I'll call you back when I put back together the pieces of my heart. And I hear my husband in the background, give daddy the phone, honey. Give daddy the phone, honey. So I put my head down on my hang up phone. I put my head down on the desk, and I start to sob, right? I'm crying, crying. So my two partners run in, and they have their suitcases in their hands because they're going home for the weekend, right? And they come to my door, and I'm crying, and they're like, what's going on? So I tell them the story, and they drop their bags, and they said, you go home and be with your son. We'll do this for you. I said, no. I said, this is my witness. This is my issue. I'm going to stay and do this. I will deal with this. So I went home the next weekend, and I sat my son down. And I said, honey, I really need to thank you because I made a promise to protect somebody. And I had to stay last weekend to protect them. And it was successful, and it was good. But I couldn't have done that without you. And I really thank you because sometimes you have to sacrifice things that are important to you if you've made a commitment to protect someone else that you need to keep. Fast forward years, I'm driving. He and two of his friends are in the back seat. And you know when you're driving your kids, you're invisible, right? You learn so much great stuff. So we're driving, and some kid had gotten in horrible trouble at school, and it involved somehow ending up on the roof of the school, throwing something. I don't know. It was very bad. And so the three of them are trying to figure out, like, how they're going to, you know, get him out of this. And I hear my son Matthew say, no, listen, our friend is in trouble, and no matter what it takes, we have to stand. We have to protect him because this is our job. We got to figure out how to do this, and they're, you know, protecting him. Right? So, you know, should I have turned down the career opportunity that took me away from him? Or should I choose what lessons I'm going to teach him by virtue of that experience? So I suggest some of that might be helpful.
Does anyone else want to stick around until like 5 p.m.?
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I am notorious for leaving really long voicemails, and this is a version of that.
I want to keep going. We have to wrap up. I always ask this question last. Someone already asked it, but what can we be praying for you for? And is there anything else personally that we can do to serve you outside of the organization you're involved?
No, the most amazing thing you could do for me is just continue to be you and be bold and brave and creative and unafraid. And if you do those things, that is the greatest honor that you can bring to the world. But change the world. Change the world. See those little globes? Go change the world and don't let anybody tell you you can't, because you can.
Boom. Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to our question and answer session with Laura. Again, you can find ways to connect with her at l3leadership.org/episode146. Again, if you didn't listen to her talk on episode number 145, please go back and listen to that now. Again, it was one of the best talks I've ever heard. A few announcements before we finish up. I want to let you know we recently introduced L3 Leadership membership. That's right. You can now become a member of L3 Leadership for just $25 a month. And as a result of being a member, you're going to get into our breakfast events for free. You'll get a free L3 Leadership t-shirt, access to joining our mastermind groups, access to our member-only site filled with extra content, resources, and courses to help your leadership go the next level, and so much more. So if you want more information on becoming a member, go to l3leadership.org/member. I also want to thank our other sponsor, BAB Inc. They're an insurance broker, third-party administrator, and consulting firm led by my friend Russell Livingston. Russell has a huge passion for developing next-generation leaders, which is why he hosts our monthly leadership breakfast, and we're so grateful for them. But they're just a phenomenal company. If your organization has any insurance needs, make sure you check out their work at babbins.com. That's BABBINS.com. If you want to keep up with everything we're doing here at L3 Leadership, you can just sign up for our email list at l3leadership.org, and you'll get a free copy of my ebook, Making the Most of Mentoring, my step-by-step guide for getting meetings with leaders. Again, if this podcast added value to your life, we'd really appreciate it if you would subscribe and leave a rating and review. It really does make a difference. We appreciate you being a listener. And as always, I'd like to end with a quote. And Henry Cloud recently said this. He said, "Ask God what he wants to use you for today. I bet it will have something to do with loving someone." And I just want to encourage you, ask God every day who he wants you to love, what he wants you to do, and I promise you will make a huge impact on this planet. Thank you so much for listening and being a part of L3 Leadership. Laura and I appreciate you so much, and we'll talk to you next episode.